When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Tom Pelissero here on The Rich Eisen Show. What's the latest on Zach Wilson?
MILF.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
They're hopeful it's going to be 2 to 4 weeks. Realistically, this type of surgery is at least 4 weeks. So, you know, likelihood it's Joe Flacco September 11th against the Ravens regardless.
The Rich Eisen Show.
MILF.
Today's guests. BYU head coach Kalani Sitake. ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick. Plus, from Netflix's Echoes, actress Michelle Monaghan. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show, right here on NBC Sports on Peacock and Sirius XM 85. We're thrilled to be here. And here with you on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate on the Odyssey app. Those listening to us on our podcast later on, because it's your right. We say a good Wednesday to all of you. Hello, Chris Brockman. Good
Hello,
to see you.
Hello, Rich. What's up, brother?
We're not wearing the same shirt today, are we? I just kind of noticed that.
I'm wearing a Lulu dark blue.
Okay. All right. That's dark blue, huh? Because I'm wearing a gray. Good enough.
Mike,
you're wearing the same jacket you wore in 2004, as a matter of fact.
I love this jacket. It's freezing in here.
I think that's a Thursday Night Football NFL Network jacket from 2006.
It's got the old
That's an 06.
Yeah,
that's the inaugural season.
I have two of these.
And two? How'd you get two?
Come on.
I didn't get
one. Come on.
Did you get mine?
Come on.
My license plate says King of Swag.
Come on.
You do not think that I'm not going to get like two of everything?
Come on.
You always get a backup.
Hey, TJ Jefferson, how are you?
I love these guys, man. What's up?
Is that right? Because you were screaming at Brockman like 10 minutes ago.
I understand something.
I'm ready to get the octagon out.
Me and Brockman can yell at each other. I love that dude, man. I'll just say it. You know, we're very passionate. That's what it is.
Now you're just putting on something for the people at home right now.
Nah, if I was mad, I'd be like, I can't stand that guy.
That was corner. 10 minutes ago. Over Skip Bayless, too.
All love, bro.
What is going on?
He's a divider. That guy's a divider even when he's not here.
That's my man.
All right. Wait, me or Skip?
No, not Skip.
Well done, buddy.
Thanks, man.
All right. We've got a great show right here. Kalani Sitake is on this program, BYU coach. This is how desperate I am for information on Zach Wilson.
Going right to this.
Right.
Have you spoken to Zach? Tell me.
I know a few
feeling?
People you could call if you want info on Zach Wilson.
Is he up and around right now? Is he okay? Please tell me. Please. Would that be odd if that's how I started the interview? Like, is a ball of pot, like a big puddle of.
Hey, have you talked to Zach lately?
I mean,
you have to work it.
That would
it
be
in
so
there.
Sad. Can you tell me? What can you tell me? Can you tell me something?
Chris Farley style.
Ian Rappaport's on in 18 minutes, and that part of is one of the reasons why I gave him a ring. Did you see his tweet yesterday when we went off the air that Zach Wilson, week one's not off the table?
By the way, that seems irresponsible.
I don't know about that.
He had surgery, yesterday?
Week one.
Then 3 weeks later, he's going to play a football game?
2 to 4 weeks. It's right in the middle of 2 to 4. Right in the middle of 2 to 4.
Let's err on the side of caution.
You know what?
Let's go 4 to 6.
He's turning Joe Flacco into that Brock Osweiler meme, right?
Yeah, the helmet.
He thought it's not time, and then, oh my God, there is Peyton Manning running out again.
Rich, I care about you and your happiness. And
no, you don't.
I want Zach to be as healthy as possible, so you have the best chance to barely win games.
Says the guy.
I want him to go 4 to 6.
Says the guy who's got all sorts of issues on offense right now.
Is that
especially since the quarterback's starting to brawl. We got to talk about that later. We're not going to get into
amazing.
That now. That's not top of the show material.
there were three more today, too.
Oh, my goodness. That's that time of year in training camp, bro.
You kind of love that.
It's that time in training camp because, I mean, things are accelerated. There's only 3 preseason games, so this week is going to be the sort of dress rehearsal week in preseason. It's coming, man.
Yeah.
It is coming. That hard knock is coming. So, lots happening.
Like Dan Campbell told him, Rich, some of you guys, this is the last – your last chance you're going to get.
Louis Riddick will be here on the program. He's getting set to call Bears Seahawks Thursday and Falcons Jets on Monday.
Well, let's go.
Yeah, man. Here we go.
That's going to be fun.
So Louis Riddick, always great to chat with one of the top minds on television, talking ball. Michelle Monaghan will be here in studio.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody's got to sit up straight. And clean your workspaces because the actress Michelle Monaghan's returning.
I will not be here.
Jason gets injured. Unbelievable.
Very sad.
I understand. You gotta prepare for a first pitch that's 19 hours from now. I got it.
Brockman, who's your half day substitute? Do you have one just in case?
That's Susie, I guess.
She's on a flight home right now, so she's not walking through that door today. She's not walking through that door today.
Also, not missing Michelle Monaghan. Like, what are you nuts?
Yeah, what's wrong with you, bro?
It's all right. Listen, what are you doing tonight? FS1.
I got a Dodgers game tonight.
Oh, baby. Oh my gosh.
I did the Astros. I do number one.
What sport is that? What sport is that?
You're done.
What sport is that?
Run in 27 innings for you guys?
What sport is that? I don't know what you're talking about.
What's the date today? He's throwing in the towel?
I told you to slow your roll. Wait a minute. And you didn't want to listen to my ass.
Give him the date, Brockman. It's the date.
Exactly.
Rich throws in the towel.
Let me pull up the MLB standings real quick.
Yeah, it's called the team that sucks from New York. That's perfect. You just name them that.
2-8 in the last 10.
And Queens. And not the one that plays at City Field.
They're 2-10 in the last 12.
It's terrible. It's
man, what but happened?
Nine games up on the Rays.
That's right.
Poopy Stadium, they should change it to.
Listen to him.
I'm very upset. Calm down. I'm sorry.
So lots to talk about on this program. I'd stay put. We're in the mood.
Mike's going to have more dumb candy takes.
Oh, yeah.
It's De Niro's 79th birthday. Hey, we had a great poll question.
There's lots to
discuss today. First item up for bids on this particular program.
A popcorn maker?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I know the price of that.
No.
Two Harleys.
So, first item up for bids on this here edition of the Rich Eisen Show is a season-long story arc, as we say in the business. In the NFL, there's week-to-week storylines, and then there's an arc that goes through the entire season. Where you take a look at the Bills, that's a storyline for the entire season. They're expected to go all the way to the Super Bowl.
They are.
And maybe win it. So that's a season-long storyline. Arc, that's, by the way, that's a Hollywood term, isn't it? It's a screenwriter's term. It's a scriptwriter's term. An arc.
A character arc.
It's not like you're putting animals by two. It's an actual design or shape, an arc. So here's a storyline. Arc for the entire season. How will the Packers offense look without Devontae Adams? Mm-hmm. How will they be able to navigate a full 17 game, 18 week season with 12 not having 17? How will that look? Marquez Valdez-Scantling, MVS as he's known in GB, he's now in KC, and I pointed out how he's going to fit in quite well there, I think. And, Alan Lazard, it's time for Lazard to step up to be a number one guy. And Aaron Rodgers has been talking him up and believes he can be a number one guy. He even had his tongue firmly planted in cheek in his first press availability of the summer, saying that he's going from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer as well at his position, as Devontae Adams referred to Derek Carr in Vegas. How's it working with the kids? Are the kids all right? Romeo Doubs, who was drafted at the position this past year, he caught the first touchdown of the preseason. Nice throw from Jordan Love. What about practice? That's where things have to come together. That's when Aaron Rodgers gives that high sign to somebody, that little look, right? How's it going? Apparently not so great. This is a man who chooses his words very carefully. He understands that what comes out of his mouth, certainly when it involves behind the scenes nuts and bolts about an issue that he knows is going to be talked about, he knows is a season long storyline arc. He knows when he talks about this stuff, it will stand out. And he talked about it. This is what he had to say after, apparently, a Tuesday practice that didn't go all that well with his young wide receivers dropping some passes.
The young guys, they got to, especially young receivers, we got to be way more consistent. A lot of drops, a lot of bad route decisions, run the wrong route. So we gotta get better in that area. We keep dropping the ball, you're not gonna be out there. So it's gonna be the most reliable guys that are out there. The preparation and the job responsibility is most important. There's gonna be physical mistakes that we talked about, but if you're going out there and dropping the ball and somebody else behind you is in the right spot all the time and catching the ball, that guy's gonna play. It's coming up. Yeah, it's coming up. It really is. We're going to play our best guys when the season starts. And whoever those guys are going to get the reps. And it's the guys I trust the most and the guys that the coaching staff trust the most. And a lot of it is just this simple responsibility in the offense. It way before, body positioning and movement and the throw and all that stuff, it's are you in the right spot at the right time? Are you running the right route?
There you go.
Yikes.
That is public. The professor calling out the students need to show your work a little bit better. You need to come to class more prepared. You need to get ready for the big test coming up on September 11th in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So says Aaron Rodgers. And this is unique. He doesn't usually do this sort of thing at all. What does he usually do? Well, we actually got a glimpse of what he usually does behind the scenes in practice, in training camp, with young players to hold them accountable. And usually these folks have their P's and Q's already lined up. Everything's usually buttoned up because Aaron Rodgers expects it, and you don't want to disappoint him. Aaron Jones told us exactly that when he appeared on this show last month.
He's our leader. He gets everybody going. He holds everybody accountable and to a high standard. He expects greatness out of you, and you just got to prove yourself day in, day out with him.
Can you give me an example of how he does that, please, Aaron Jones?
So we might be in the huddle, and it might be a certain play called, and he might get up to the line of scrimmage just to see if guys have been in their playbook or studying, change up the play, throw out a signal, and really give him a little chance to communicate. But if you're wearing in your playbook, he's gonna know on that play, and then he'll come out and he'll talk to you, pull you to the side, and like, hey, this is why I changed it. I'm testing you, and you see him do it a lot to the younger guys, and then that's how they know, hey, like, I gotta gain his trust. I want to be on the field. I gotta know this stuff.
Have you seen him do that to somebody on a certain play, and then when it comes time to actually use it in a game, he uses it to success, and then they kind of share a moment like, remember back in July, back in August, that's why we did it.
I've seen it happen many times, and it just, that's what it's about. In practice, you're not going to be perfect, but you get it down, and you make that mistake, but you don't make that mistake again, and you learn from it, and then when it's time to go execute it, you go execute it, and you look back at those moments, and those are teaching and learning moments, and you thank them. You really thank them for that.
That's it. Which one of these wide receivers in week 3, week 4, week 5 is going to thank him for that? Is it Dobbs? Dobbs had that touchdown pass, but he's a rookie. Juwan Winfrey, year 3. What else we got? Amari Rodgers.
Yeah, year 2 for him.
Year 2 for him. Who's going to step up? Because it's Watkins, Cobb at the wide receiver position, and Lazard. And one of them goes down. You need a fourth receiver. You need a fifth receiver. Who's going to step up? And Rodgers is on the case. And he has felt compelled to say something publicly. I will add another Rodgers phrase to the equation. Relax. R-E-L-A-X. He's got it. He's got it. But if he's going to start throwing around and there's going to be some dropsies and things of that nature, somebody's going to hear it. And you know who's not going to feel the pressure? It won't be Rodgers. It'll be the players who don't catch the ball. And then essentially Gutekunst, right? The groceries. Who's shopping for them? August 16th. I know today's the 17th. But August 16th, remember that date when Aaron Rodgers stepped out to the microphone and talked about family business with people outside the family. So there is cause for concern right now, but Rodgers has a process. You heard about it with Aaron Jones. Maybe he is just switching up the play at the last second to see who knows what's what, because he knows now's the time to do it. Now's the time to do it. Heaven forbid, week one, September 11th, looks like week one for the Packers last year. Remember when they got the doors blown off?
By the Saints.
By the Saints.
Remember that? In Jacksonville.
Right.
Because the Saints couldn't play in the Superdome because of the hurricane. And so, you remember that? Boy, it'll be DEFCON 1 there, because everyone will feel they don't have the horses. Last year, that wasn't the issue. Remember, I think, was it Cowher who said that Rodgers looked like he didn't care or something like that?
Everyone there was wondering also, like, the weird conspiracy that he was tanking.
He was tanking because he wouldn't have his contract. Right. He was an unhappy camper still because he came back late, too, and he wasn't there in the offseason. It was Rodgers' fault. And, of course, as you know, they wound up being the one seed anyway. So I guess R-E-L-A-X.
They won seven in a row after that.
But the guy who R-E-L-A-X is for you felt the need to say something. Put a pin in that. That's part of the storyline, season-long storyline arc for the Green Bay Packers.
So still no pressure for Aaron?
Nope.
None? Okay.
No, I mean, what is he going to put pressure on himself to keep throwing the ball exactly where it needs to be? He can't control the youth and the greenness of these Green Bay Packer receivers. How can he control it? What he can do is coach them up and put the pressure on them. Hey, man, this is Aaron freaking Rodgers in the remaining window of his career. It could last as long as Brady's window, until he's 45. But, I mean, right now, this is a pretty big year. But there's still no pressure on him. What's the pressure?
The pressure is to elevate these young kids to superstar status.
No. He's trying. He's called him out in the media now. So they know this is part of his arsenal as well. But he hasn't really had to pull out because he's got Devontae Adams leading the charge last few years. Just keep an eye on all that. That's all. That's all. And don't take the cheese that the Packers are going to stink on ice. That's the cheese that's going to be out there throughout the sports media world. Don't take that cheese.
Telling the Packers not to take the cheese.
I just told the Packers cheeseheads not to take that cheese. That's correct. I did do that. Let's take a break right here on this program. Ian Rappaport will join us next. I believe he's in Jaguars camp. Cannot wait to talk with him. And then we'll also have Lewis Riddick on the program talking more ball. 844-204-RICH is the number for you to dial to talk with us. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Lots popping in the National Football League, as always, in the middle of August, on the cusp of the second preseason week, which in this now shortened preseason world, this is the dress rehearsal. This is it. This is where a lot of rubber is going to meet the road. Joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, I believe from Jaguars camp, is none other than our friend Rap Sheet himself from the NFL Media Group, Ian Rappaport. How you doing, Ian?
So going on, Rich? How are you?
What's going on there? Are they fired up about Javon Walker? They made the right choice in their minds, and they see Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer's not the coach anymore? I mean, walk me through what's there.
Urban Meyer isn't here. Yeah, it's interesting. That hasn't come up in any of my conversations today. Mm. Not a lot of people are saying anything like, man, can you believe that we had Urban Meyer and it was such a disaster? Like, definitely has not come up with every single person I've spoken with today.
Is your tongue firmly planted in cheek there, Ian? Or is that what it is or what?
It is funny that, like, you know, this is, you know, and I've talked to a bunch of coaches here, as I tend to do when I go to these places. And, right. it's a staff of really, like, good dudes, right? Like, Doug Peterson is great. Press Taylor is great. I spoke to both those guys. Very different from the Urban Meyer regime. You know, a couple of players I've talked to are like, whew, a little different, you know? And I think, like, you know, you don't have to – coaches are not always nice to everyone, and I think that's okay. You can coach really hard. You can coach beyond hard and still get success. The biggest takeaway, like, kind of looking back on the Urban Meyer thing is, there was not a lot of coaching that went on here last year. Like, I have no idea what Trevor Lawrence is going to be. But I don't know if we can judge anything from last year because he just really wasn't coached well. And that kind of sucks. But I think it's going to be better this year. And, you know, the offense is interesting. Trayvon Walker does seem to be the real deal. The defense was really good the other night. You know, there's some things going on here. There's some things, Rich.
There's some things going on in Jacksonville. That's the headline from Ian Rappaport here on the Rich Eisen Show. What is going on with Deshaun Watson and the disciplinary appeal? What do you got for me on that?
Well, we are still waiting for Peter Harvey to make his ruling. We will see if it gets there. You know, the longer he waits, and look, I mean, there was supposed to be an expedited appeal. If the two sides reach a settlement, then there's no reason for – there is supposed to be an expedited ruling, I should say. If the two sides reach a settlement, there's no reason for him to rule. And the NFL has made it clear they want a full year. Roger Goodell came out very publicly, I would say in somewhat uncharacteristic fashion, and stated that he wanted a year and why. Deshaun Watson has 6 games in his pocket right now from Judge Sue L. Robinson. So, you know, there is a chance that the two sides end up meeting somewhere that's an acceptable place, and they have a settlement, which would mean, you know, Deshaun gets suspended more than the 6 games. Potentially the league gets less than the year they want. Also means it's over, and it doesn't hang over the entire season. You know, none of this is good. It's all been bad, but at least that's the best of a bad situation in just that it's over. So the longer it waits, the more likely it is a settlement happens, but we'll see if one actually does end up happening.
So there's a conversation between the Watson side and the Players Association together with the NFL to see if they can actually avoid a ruling coming down, which would then lead to potential legal action. That's neither side wants a legal action? Is that what you're saying right now?
Well, I mean, you know, the league certainly doesn't. I mean, you remember what it was like. Yeah. You know, think about those game day mornings when we would be like, all right, well, Ezekiel Elliott is in, you know, federal court. Like, nobody wants that, you know?
Right.
Nobody wants to cut to Tom Pelissero standing in front of a federal courthouse in a suit, right? Nobody wants that. No offense to Tom, but he's probably...
Ian, or his Taylor. You said in a suit,
Tom loves his Taylor. Hammer Made, I think, is his Taylor. He puts it all over social media. Tom loves his Taylor. I'll stick to Rick Soto, my Taylor.
Oh, boy.
Tom loves his own.
Lots of run going on.
Who's your Taylor, Rich?
I don't have one, Ian. I don't have one.
Wow. You don't have a personal guy?
Come on.
Wow.
My Taylor is my daughter. That's what her name is. Hey. Her name is Taylor. T-A-Y-L-O-R.
That literally is your Taylor.
That's about it. Yeah. So.
But, you know, the league doesn't want that. And then, you know, the NFLPA, Deshaun Watson doesn't want that. Nobody wants to take the NFL to federal court. So if they can come with some sort of settlement, I think that would make some sense. I'll just say that.
Ian Rappaport here on the Rich Eisen Show. What is the story that's out there right now that actually, with whether it is a quarterback competition or Zach Wilson, that will affect week one? That you feel with certainty is going to affect week one right now?
I mean, the Zach Wilson thing, that was quite a, Rich, I know you were going through it. That was a roller coaster.
You know I was going through it because you were literally the first person I texted when the news hit. I'm like, come on. Yes. I think those might be the two words I sent you. So
I think that was, yes.
You were the first.
I thought it might be, I think that was it. But, you know, it's interesting because, like, if you look at it, I've watched the hit a bunch, and I know you have two, not the hit, but the play a bunch. Non-contact, knee buckled, looked horrendous. I mean, just looked terrible. And, you know, everyone on Twitter is speculating, like, Jimmy G, he's out, Zach's out for the season and everything bad. And then you dig into it a little bit, and everybody was like, well, hang on, you know, it's not actually, like, we think the ACL is okay. And then I heard that there was a little, you know, sort of a reoccurrence of his PCL, and I'm like, okay, well, that's not great, but not an ACL. So, and then it's like bone bruise, which is something, not nothing, and surgery, something, not nothing, but nothing that's going to keep him out for the season. So, like, might you have Joe Flacco for a game or no more? Like, you might, but he's going to play this season, which I think is a very good sign.
Okay, so you said it's possible week one, too? Is that what you said? Based on
I would say outside chance of week one, it's judging something from a month from now or 3.5 weeks from now or whatever, like that's hard. So I would never want to do that because everyone is different. So I would say, week one is still in play. He has a chance, but probably more of an outside chance.
And then why is Flacco being mentioned over Mike White? What can you tell about the inside of what the Jets might do if Wilson does need extra time? What do you got for me on that?
I mean, it seems that Joe Flacco has had a really good training camp. And, like, you know, judging the comments from coaches and judging the play of someone in training camp is always difficult because every year there's someone or many someones who seem awesome and the season starts and you're like, remember we were talking about him? Like, there's always a couple of those. Seems that Joe Flacco has been really good. And I do not get the sense at all that the Jets are interested in Jimmy G. I do get the sense that it's going to be Joe Flacco if they need another quarterback, and they think he's going to be really good. And that whole thing is, I think, really, 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 really interesting to me.
Okay. And then staying in the AFC East, what is going on with the multiple play calling in New England? What's your sense of that, Ian Rappaport?
Now, this is a great storyline. I enjoy this storyline.
Oh,
I do, because it's peak Belichick. You know, it's like, it's an inner football thing that no one really understands, and he definitely understands a lot better than us. And, like, it doesn't really matter who the play caller is, like, whether it's Joe Judge or Matt Patricia or Bill Belichick itself. Like, it's not going to really change anyone. It's not going to change my life, right? But it is really fun to discuss and try to figure out, so that's kind of where we are. I think the Patriots are still trying to figure out how it's going to work. But I know this. Joe Judge will be involved. Matt Patricia, who will do a lot of the run game stuff and is with the O-line, will be involved. Bill Belichick, who I think last year was heavy, heavy-handed in the defense, will be more heavy-handed in the offense this year. I expect that. And, like, there's been many years, as you know, when we've been like, oh, can you believe what's going on in the box? We're like, I can't believe they did this. And then they end up fine. I would assume this year, just like every other year, they'll end up fine.
This is just he just won't say what the process is. He says there is one, and he says it's too long to talk about. Is right. It's what he said in his recent press conference. Yeah, we don't have the time to get into it. You know.
Whereas, like, you know, you ask him on a Friday afternoon about, like, the evolution of the fullback, and he's like, "Cool, I'll give you 7 minutes on." You know, like, the evolution of the fullback. It's one of my favorite Belichick.
It's true. You're not wrong. You've been there. You've done that, Ian. You've been part of that. You've been part of that fray. Okay.
I mean, when you're on the beat and you're like, okay, cool, I'll transcribe this last question and, you know, send out to the other beat writers. You're like, great, I got the fullback question. Oh, this is going to be great.
Ian Rappaport at Rap Sheet right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So Drew Locke getting COVID, that means it's going to be none other than Geno Smith taking on the Bears, which makes that an interesting scenario. How do you see this affecting the quarterback choice for Pete Carroll now in Seattle? And does Jimmy G at all somehow figure into this still? What do you got for me?
You know, on that? Let me get to the Jimmy G thing first.
Go for it.
Because everyone has been assuming that if Jimmy G gets cut, which, you know, it seems to be the way it's headed. We'll see if there's an injury or something. That seems to be the way it's headed. You know, send them right to Seattle, right? That's what the 49ers don't want. Is they don't want Jimmy Garoppolo siding in Seattle. Okay, possible. Let's say you're Jimmy Garoppolo. Let's say you do get cut, and it's August
31st.
When's cut down day?
38, 31st, yeah, it'll right? be, well, 30th is the day of, day of reckoning. So he'd be free to look around that night, and then I'd just throw the 31st, first full day of freedom, yes, for him, yeah.
So let me ask you this, and you're more of a, you know, I'm not one of punditry. How good do you think the Seahawks will be?
I think they're going to be a little bit better than people think. But I understand what you're going for. I'll bite. Right. Keep going.
So let's assume that we don't know how good they are. Right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
If you're Jimmy G and you say, all right, historically, there are some quarterback injuries. Week 1, 2, 3, by week 4, someone will be injured. Might it make sense to just wait? Say, you know what? I'm just going to chill. And I'm going to jump on the biggest bandwagon I can find, and I'm going to be on the best team, and I'm going to take some teams in the playoffs. There is an argument to be had that that is the best case scenario, because who cares how much money he makes this year? Whether it's, you know, 8 or 6, like, does it really matter? Not, I mean, it would matter to me, but not to him. Waiting makes sense rather than say, all right, well, I'm just going to go to Seattle because I'll be the star. Like, so there's, at some point, that will be a very interesting discussion, and I'm curious which way it goes.
And then what about the Seattle aspect of it? Is this now going to be Geno has the leg up because Drew Lock can't play in this game, do you think?
Yeah, and that's, you know, all you really want, like if you're Pete Carroll, all you really want is just a full and fair evaluation. And like COVID has sucked for 2 years, so like not total surprise that it continues to suck. but that is like, that's too bad because this was going to be his, you know, it's going to be one start for Geno, one start for Drew Lock. And Drew Lock played with the ones in practice. Did not sound like it went very well. But he was going to start this game, and then a decision would be made. You know, could they have Drew Lock start week 3 and then make a decision? Definitely could. You know, you got a long time between week 3 and the end of the season, or the beginning of the season. So that's possible, but it definitely throws a wrench in some plans. I'll say that.
What's the scoop with the Carolina quarterback situation? What do you got for me there, Ian Rappaport?
So the plan was to make a decision after New England joint practice in that game. So that would be, you know, probably early next week. I mean, it seems the leg up is still to Baker Mayfield. I would be surprised at this point if he's not the starter. But you'd also like if you got there and earn it. Now, when I was there in Carolina with Mike Garofalo, certainly Baker looked at that point like the better quarterback. So maybe that's the way it sort of stays. You know, I don't know when they'll make a final decision, but I would expect that's going to be the eventual outcome.
So, because the sense for me is, why else do you trade for him? If Darnold's the guy, you saw him all last year, and you've seen him all mini camp, you saw him all May, and now you're going to, I mean, even though it was truly no skin off their nose, I mean, what is it, like a provisional draft choice 2 drafts from now, right? So the question is why wouldn't it be him? Certainly when they're playing Cleveland week 1. I mean, my word, why wouldn't you do that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's... Yeah,
is that it?
It's going to be interesting. Yeah, I think, you know, the sense I always got was if you knew Darnold was going to be the guy, then you would not give up draft capital. And, like, they, you know... That thing took a while. I mean, I thought it was going to happen during the draft. I mean, I had my tweets ready during day 3 of the draft.
I know. You're sitting up there in the Cosmopolitan or, you know, up on your terrace. Yeah, I remember that.
Tweets are all ready to rock. I'm good to go. I got everything written. It just never happened. And so it took forever. So, you know, if Darnold was what they wanted in OTAs, I don't think they make the trade. So, I mean, I would say that's probably – and I think it's overall understanding of the offense, its ability to make big plays. You know, Darnold makes a lot of mistakes. And, you know, I would imagine you probably know this, but there are times that he'll throw something and you're like, how? Like, how does that happen? and so I think Baker will be more secure and kind of settled with a little more upside.
All right, and then last one for you, since you were just mentioned the draft right there, Ian Rappaport. Now you had the the tweets about Mayfield being traded all set and that never happened. And going into that week, it was Debo mania, right? It was going to be like, was he going to get traded because he's demanded one and part of his reason
why.
Did
you know that Debo was in Vegas?
I heard that story from you, right? I mean, he was there, huh?
Yeah. So we heard that he was there kind of hanging out.
Right.
And so I sent one of our producers to go down and be like, hey, see if he'll do an interview. And he was like, tell you I say hi, but no. which I thought was pretty funny. And so he declined, but was just there hanging out. We were talking about him for a week. But anyway, go ahead.
No, so isn't it amazing how that all got taken care of and it just turned out to be money, I guess, and Lance is the guy there? What are you hearing out of 49ers camp now that it's actually quiet there on that front?
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting that we spent all the time talking about role. And I know the 49ers have downplayed that. Like, my understanding is that was pretty real. And the fact that they're going to use him as a receiver while also sprinkling in some carries, like, as a receiver, emphasis on that. Like, I think that's a good thing, and that helped the deal. Had he been happy all the way, we would have avoided all of this. So there was definitely, like,
right.
He definitely wanted to be traded at some point. So, like, I can't pretend that none of that happened. But I do think it'll be in a better place going forward. As far as Trey Lance, you know, the reports out of camp have been okay. It doesn't sound like he's had the greatest camp. It sounds like he's made a lot of wow plays and had some inaccuracy. So that's probably what it's going to be. I mean, you know, if he's completing near 50% of his passes, but with some really good runs and some big pass plays, I'll be like, okay, that's kind of like what I expect. You know, what you want is just, you want him to give you some explosive plays, a little more than Jimmy G gave you, even though Jimmy G took him to two conference title games. So it's going to be interesting. He's sort of been up and down, but, you know, I'd say at the beginning at least, that's probably to be expected.
And he's week one in Chicago. Is he going to have to deal with Roquan Smith on the other side of the ball, do you think?
We shall see. You know, that's certainly a fascinating situation for a lot of different reasons. You know, I know the Bears would still like to get a deal done. And, you know, Roquan in his letter, you know, really left it open as far as, like, if the owner steps in, we could probably do this. So we'll see if something ends up getting done. I think it's possible, but, you know, and it would be expensive, but kind of player he is. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
All right. I know I said one last one, but you're too good. I got one last one for you. Just give me a couple minutes on this one, Ian Rappaport, because everybody's talking about Aaron Rodgers calling out his young receivers. What are you hearing out of Green Bay that's maybe concerning or enough to raise Rodgers' level of concern to do something he rarely does, which is air his concerns publicly? What do you got for me on that front?
Yeah, I mean, there's some times when, like, something will happen in the media and you're kind of like, you know, we're making too much of this. Like, this seems to be a thing, right? Like, Aaron Rodgers does not do anything by accident. He doesn't do anything he doesn't, like, slip and just be like, oops. You know, it's like, think about how many years we spent analyzing his words about his future and what's going to, like, you know, he is a smart guy who means what he says, basically. So I think it needs to be a little better. And, you know, now that we know he's sort of on the same page with the front office, what do we read into it? Like, is this him saying, like, you need to be better or else? Is this him calling attention to, like, let's make sure we're kind of up to snuff? I don't know, but definitely not nothing. And definitely going to keep our eyes on the receivers for the next 2.5 weeks.
Ian, thanks very much. Safe travels. Let's do this again. Greatly appreciated. I do hope to see you soon, man. You be well.
All right. Sounds good, Rich. Always enjoy, man. Take care.
There you go. That, right back at you. That's Ian Rappaport at Rap Sheet here on the program. He gone. He doesn't want to talk to a Yankee fan.
Maybe the Mets are having a little trouble this week.
Oh, is that right?
Lost 2 in a row to the Braves.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't notice. I stopped following the sport about 72 hours ago.
Wow. August 14th, right?
August, it's the 17th, right?
Yeah.
What's their lead now?
9 games.
Okay. Got it.
It was like 17.
The old fan grass is still 100%.
Am I going to have to declare him the winner of your date war? Because he kept giving you the date.
No, he's given up. He just said he stopped following baseball.
So technically, If you just tapped out, that means he just won this whole thing.
I stopped watching baseball.
He stopped watching baseball in May.
Baseball exists.
Like a month ago.
Unless Rafael Devers homers against the Yankees, maybe. Then I see a Devers bomb emoji like he's 10.
Won the series.
Devers bomb. Ooh. I haven't seen that before.
Well, he does.
Let me tweet it in caps. Let me do it without an emoji.
All
bomb. Boom.
The time
kaboom.
The
all right. Look who stepped in the room.
Hey.
Well, we'll take a break. The dog and Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Was barking yesterday in training camp. Wait till you hear this if you already haven't. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.